Welcome to Decode, a podcast that delves into the complex world of K-12 computer science education, highlighting the significance of storytelling in comprehending educational data.
I'm here with Dr. Stephen Bigelow of Bay City Public Schools in Michigan.
Yes, that's right. Remote, 70 miles north of the Detroit.
So what I didn't share with you is I grew up in Troy, Michigan.
Oh, I don't know that.
My parents are still there. I saw you were you kind of played around that whole area in your early career and started out as an elementary school teacher, right?
In South Lyon, that's correct. So I was in South Lyon as an elementary school teacher. Then I became a middle school teacher, middle school assistant principal, middle school principal, high school principal, and I'm on superintendency number two.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Very, very cool. Yeah. So I saw you're on the GSV pilot for education innovators.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So GSV partnered with Google, and this is their first year. We're wrapping up the first year of a fellowship. And in the fellowship, there's actually three groupings. There's one based out of Los Angeles, one out of Chicago, which I'm in, and then there's one in New York City as well. So each group, overall, there's approximately 25 people. But routinely, every couple months, I would meet with a group in Chicago. And we all are working on our own projects, utilizing some of the resources of both Google and GSV. And the project that I was working on was artificial intelligence for classroom teachers and how to increase their level of comfort, also explore and learn a little bit more about how to use it, and use that to think about how to build policy so we know that when we're working with kids, we're doing so in a safe way, where we're mitigating all of those concerns that a classroom teacher is going to have, and also making sure that as we're doing so, we're not just sending student data up into the cloud where we don't know what happens.
Right.
So we're working through all those problems. And ultimately, I'm using it to design professional development for our teaching staff over the summer for next fall.
I mean, it's really cool to hear kind of the level of engagement that you have around this, because you're dealing with change management, right? And you have been
and
for like the past decade.
Yeah,
there's a lot of fear around it, right?
There really is. So, and I'll tell you, with the group, that it's only a small cohort of teachers I'm working with.
Within your district?
Within my district, 10 teachers, and we run the gamut from fearful of AI and not understanding what it was originally to people who are ready to maybe go a little too quickly in it. So it's that perfect mix. And what we found is all of the teachers have embraced it now, but cautiously. And in order for this to be successful, if it's me saying this is what we're doing, it won't work. So it has to come organically from within the organization.
What do you think is driving the fear?
Well, there's a couple things. Number one, for a classroom teacher, it's the idea of cheating and maybe even loss of control. So in the nightmare scenario, you're the student, you do your entire traditional essay on ChatGPT, for example, and then the teacher uses a chat rubric to grade it. And at some point, it's just nobody's actually doing the work. It's going back and forth.
Right.
And obviously, so it leads to discussions of what's appropriate in elementary school, what's appropriate in middle and high school. It's clear that there's going to be many times where we're a one-to-one district, like many, many times where the computers are shut off and it's even paper and pencil. So kids are learning those skills as well. So from my side as a superintendent, I have enormous policy concerns. How do we handle possible data theft with student information?
Yeah.
So we're working through.
Is there Michigan state legislation around this or policy implementation?
No. But there are districts that are writing good policy all over the place, not just in Michigan. Yeah. And so there's these loose organizations, and they're coming.
You've
together.
Seen teachai.org,
I absolutely
right?
have. That's actually one of the main ones.
We just talked with Pat Young Prentice earlier today, who leads teachai, and they've got a ton of resources.
They do.
Right? It's really been pretty useful for you.
Very useful. So ultimately, that's what we're doing. But
one of the things he's tracking also is the states that have adopted a framework. Has Michigan adopted anything like? I think there's maybe 9 of the 50 states have done something like that.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing with public schools. we are traditionally slow bureaucratic organizations.
Yeah, of course.
Not that any of us like it, it's just how they
but
are.
But you've got a big jump on things, actually.
We're trying.
Pretty forward thinking.
We are trying.
Yeah. What are the policy biggest policy concerns for you that you're thinking about?
The
student data.
Student data. What happens if a student, here's a big one. What is cheating anymore? What specifically is it?
Well, that's a good question.
So there's got to be guardrails put in place. Writing an entire essay through AI where you're not doing anything, cheating. However, if you're using it to structure your arguments or to improve it, when we think about things like Grammarly, how they simply improve,
right.
Is that cheating? In my mind, it's not.
Yeah.
But at what point is it not cheating?
Sure. Yeah. Like when you're Microsoft Word and it
right.
underlines the misspelled word, is that cheating because I did autocorrect? Or?
Yeah. So the other concern, which I have no idea how I'm going to be able to rectify this, it's my own, but I'll use Grammarly as a perfect example.
Yeah.
My writing has changed because of Grammarly. Now, I was a good writer, but Grammarly find better ways to do it. And because of that, it may, have a suggestion. And I now don't want to see those suggestions come up. So I found myself altering my writing so I don't get the prompt from Grammarly. And
yeah.
There's some worries there when we're talking about AI, like who's training
who.
So lots of consideration.
Yeah. Well, so when I think about AI, I mean, I run a computer science robotics education company, and I think about jobs.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's a really big compelling argument there to implement AI. But I mean, I just look at the job of the developer, which has dramatically changed,
yeah.
right? It used to be you got to know all the code. You got to know the syntax.
Right.
You got to know all of this stuff. You have to memorize and remember all these things. You don't need to remember anything anymore.
No,
it's right there. And the job of the developer now, 70% of code today is actually written by AI already. So, how do you think about what you want to teach in terms of AI relative to jobs?
We are going through that struggle right now because the reality is I am not the person that's going to be able to figure out how to scale what we're trying to do with students.
Yeah.
And quite often they're ahead of the teachers when we're in this area. I look to other resources really to inform me what the next trend is and where I need to go with it. We are very, very heavy in our school district and also in our region in STEM education.
Yeah.
We have some grant dollars coming through Dow Chemical, which is just down the street from us.
That's what I was going to ask you. So, you did a pretty big turnaround in Bay City.
Yes.
And,
yes.
I would think, partnerships with the local businesses are key.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how are you thinking about that now
and
preparing the students for jobs?
That is exactly. So through what we call the profile of a graduate, which isn't unique to a school district, but for Bay City, we held numerous business partnership meetings. So we have businesses come in. What are you looking for from our graduates? What is it that you need them to know?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is simply they need people who can work synergetically with others and have a conversation and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But also, what are the technical needs that you need? We have Nexteer down the street who's doing autonomous driving. It is a mecca for automobile engineering as well.
Yeah, of course.
What specifically do you need them to know? Now, they're not telling us we need them to know how to program in, this is an age with Python or something like that.
Yeah.
However, they need people who have the ability to problem solve and work through a complex situation.
Yeah.
Because the technology is going to continue to change.
It
always changes.
The million-dollar question is, how do you teach those skills?
By constantly challenging students and allowing them to know that frustration is okay and to work through it. The idea of fail fast, fail forward.
All right, so I gotta tell you about that. So I did I was at the Florida Cyber Launch Competition. I had a couple of sessions that I did, and I taught a class basically on inverting Bloom's taxonomy. And I had about 30 students and some of their teachers in the classroom. And I basically said, well, all those, the base things around Bloom's taxonomy, we don't need those anymore. So we just jump to creativity. Who wants to have some fun? Let's code a game. And everybody's hands went up. And we started doing prompts in ChatGPT, write me code for a game similar to Simple Simon. And we plugged it into the Pi Top with some LED lights and everything. And the first time we wrote it, it was very obvious that there was nowhere to plug the wires in.
We
didn't know where to plug them in, so we had to reprompt them, like, which port do we plug the wires in? And we started going through this process, and it was very analytical. I'm actually writing a blog on this right now because it's about failure. At the end of the session, and I did this twice in a row, I failed twice in a row.
Yeah.
I didn't get the game to work.
Right.
And then we talked at the end of the session with the students and the teachers and asked the real question, did we fail? And right. No, we did, because we spent the whole session doing critical reasoning and thinking and trying to figure out.
You've cleared some hurdles that next time you'll make it a little bit further.
But it's interesting because we talk about failure. Who is willing to stand up in front of the class and fail as an example?
As a superintendent, I have my own stress in my life. Because I need to fail, but I have to be careful how often I fail because, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
We've got to get through this. One of the things that I just thought of is, we talk about what are some of the concerns with generative AI, the idea that answers are correct. We can't rely on that either. So, for example, if you look at like DALL-E and you ask it to create an image and the person has seven fingers or a leg coming out of an elbow, like you see weird, and so we rely on it too heavily. We don't have the critical ability to discern what's real and what's not, and what's appropriate and what's not. That's a huge risk.
So, well, here we are, ASU GSV conference. It's all focused on AI. You've spent some time here. What are you hoping to take away? Anything earth shattering that you've learned so far?
I find it exciting, and seeing other people who are excited about AI.
Yeah.
It's all earth shattering. It's completely overwhelming. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's so much I don't know, and I'm just embracing embracing that and just kind of throwing myself in the flow. But it has been wonderful.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
It's a real pleasure.
Thanks for listening. If you found this conversation valuable, please leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. We will see you next time on Decode.